Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it. The Elimination Chamber.
The Elimination Chamber.
I mean, like, it's been one of those weeks where it's like, there seems like a lot's happened. And it, like, I almost had to remind myself over and over, like, don't forget to talk about Elimination Chamber. It happened this week. It wasn't a week ago.
It was good.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. First of all, the chamber itself, I enjoyed the new design.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna skip it. It's a good show all in all, but
there's something more pressing in your mind?
I gotta really talk about the chamber match in and of itself.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
Especially because we're hot on the heels of me spending like half a podcast complaining about the poor structure of the Rumble.
Right.
And I get that the Rumble is building a match with 30 guys versus a chamber match where you're building a match with 6 guys.
Right.
But the coherency and the consistency and the through line story of that chamber match was fantastic.
Yeah.
Everybody, 6 guys went in, 6 guys came out looking good.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy who came out the worst was probably John Cena.
Him or Baron Corbin.
See, I thought Baron Corbin came out looking great.
No. Like, I'm saying, like, they all look great, but if we had to pick,
Baron Corbin might be my number two after...
Oh, fair enough.
After, obviously, Bray.
Right.
I think that match is the thing that really is, like, kind of won me over with Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
Like, it's been a long time coming, not like...
Sure.
It didn't flip a switch from no to yes for me.
I'm the same way, yeah.
But, like, it's been a long time. But I think it was that match where I was like, yeah, okay, I'm on board.
They've been booking him well.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like they're overdoing it.
No.
Like, there are some weeks where are like, all right, well, they're clearly high on this guy. But by and large, it didn't feel overly forced.
This is... Baron Corbin feels very much... This is one of the best tweener... feels that I've gotten from a guy in a very, very long time.
Because lately he's kind of eased up on the heel stuff
like
a little bit.
Tweener usually is, we want our heel, or we want our face to be edgy, and it's kind of gross.
It's what they're desperately trying with Roman.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's this kind of... It's just gross is honestly the best way to describe it.
No, you're absolutely correct, yeah.
They don't do it very well because it's a confusing face because it's like a face that does random heel things, which isn't really what a tweener is.
And you can tell the writing staff isn't comfortable writing for a tweener because that's when you get those really cringe lines like, day after WrestleMania, Roman's saying he's, not a good guy, not a bad guy.
Right.
It's also his delivery was crap, but that's a whole other thing.
And part of the issue with Roman is he is a begrudging tweener. They're offering a half-hearted compromise to we need Roman to be heel.
Yeah.
Because it feels like it just reeks of if we said okay to him being a face for a second, he'd be full-blown Superman babyface the very next night.
I don't know. I get more of a... I hear more of a vibe from him that he's kind of itching to be a heel.
I think Roman personally wants to be a heel like that. That's
right.
Coming across. But it feels like that tweener vibe is like...
Eating at him.
It feels like they are trying to sneak a face by being like, oh, it's a tweener. And he's like, no, it's a face.
Honestly, maybe that's part of the problem because I get the vibe of he's kind of half-assing being a heel. Or not being a heel, but being a tweener.
Yeah.
I'm just like, pick a side, and I'm pretty sure he will kind of, be more behind it.
There's a very big difference between a guy that can't pick face or heel and a guy who is more concerned with his own success than with being a good or bad guy.
Right.
And Baron Corbin is doing that very successfully.
Yes.
Baron Corbin can go in the ring with a face and be booked as a heel, and then the next week go in with a heel and be booked as a face, and both fit the character naturally.
Right.
And again, this chamber match, he came out looking incredible to me.
Yeah.
Just everything that he did and his mannerisms, his persona in there, he looked threatening in a way that he hadn't before. That he had the potential to, but he hadn't really been able to put on display. Because part of it is chamber matches so often have one guy that's kind of the filler. That's kind of the, we had six slots. And I thought that was going to be Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
Like, never, it crossed my mind that he might win. He was, and it's just, I was like, and I get that he's getting better and I'm going to get on the train at some point. But he was going to be the one that was like, just kind of there.
Right.
And so him, he had such an impact on the course of the match, which just made him look strong and impressive and
sure.
Above all else, relevant.
I think Miz did a really good job of selling that. Whenever his number was up, he just was kind of froze in his pod and just like, you know, just looks scared half to death. Well, I feel like and that sold it very well.
And that's this great moment, and those are characters that work well together or have the potential to work well together.
Right.
Because Miz, he obviously, I guess if you want to say somebody didn't come out looking strong, Miz didn't come out looking strong and dominant.
But he fit his character, but which he is, was, you know, more the
he was consistent. That's the part of the thing, is he's consistent in his character.
Sure.
And it's a relevant character. It's a character that it is close to a chicken heel, but it isn't quite. And it's a little hard to pinpoint the differences, but I think some of it is he still has an eagerness to be in the ring. He still has an eagerness to be a successful superstar.
Right.
When he has a title, he wants to defend that title.
Yeah.
He has a lot of the aspects of being a WWE superstar.
Yeah.
But
it's almost like he, you know, it's like subconsciously he likes to be challenged to find a new way to get out of a match.
You know those, it's a stereotypical kind of quarterback, like the quarterback where, like, you know, he's scared to get hit.
Yeah.
Like, he's in the game. He knows it's part of the game. He'll say in every interview he's okay with it. He gets hit a lot, and it doesn't seem to rattle him.
And yet he'll be the same guy when a defensive player is just breathing down his neck. He'll go ahead and fall.
Like, this thing's like, you know? He's the kind of guy that'll throw the ball a little too quickly.
Sure.
He'll take the slide when he could have made it an extra yard. Yeah. And so, like, and that's kind of what Miz is to me.
Yeah.
Is that, like, he's in there and he's good about it, but, like, He'll do that thing where you're like, God, he is scared, and he should be.
Yeah.
So I don't know that, because I ended up watching, I didn't watch the whole thing, but I watched that chamber match again. I'm like, so much clicked in that match.
I've meant to. I need to go back and watch it again. But just moving on from the outcome of that match, and then talking a little bit about SmackDown. Interesting development with Orton kind of refusing to face Bray at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Which leads to a Battle Royal on SmackDown next week.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that opens up the possibility of a match that wasn't really on anybody's radar. But I feel like it's a likely way they might go with this. Because, you know, they've made the match. What are they going to do? Just have Randy just randomly surprise enter himself into the Battle Royal and win that again? You know, I feel like that opens up the possibility of a potential three-way with Randy, Bray, and Luke Harper.
Yeah.
Because Luke Harper's gained even though he lost at Elimination Chamber, he's got so much momentum going right now.
Okay, but do you think he has enough momentum to be in the WWE title?
I mean, it's not
at WrestleMania.
I don't see why not.
All right.
You know, I feel like he's gained enough momentum and, you know, they're high enough on him to involve him in this storyline so far. Why not continue to kind of go the distance with. Because clearly he's got a thing against Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
So if he wins this battle royal, you know, he's absolutely going to go after Bray at WrestleMania. Then that intrigues Randy into reinserting himself into the match, almost as Bray's, you know, protector.
Let me say, I would love for you to be right.
Yeah, sure.
This sounds great. Mm-hmm. I'm all about that if that's the case. I don't know if I would hold my breath for that to happen.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying, like, that would be... Because it's a possibility that none of us really had on our radar.
Right.
You know?
This.
But from a storyline standpoint, that makes the most sense.
This storyline strikes me a lot more as filling out the weeks until WrestleMania.
Sure, absolutely, because they've got a pretty long ways to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
we got a long ways to go.
You still have a couple more weeks to fill before their next pay-per-view.
Yeah, you got an extra pay-per-view on Raw.
Right.
Which SmackDown's out of pay-per-views until we get to WrestleMania. And also, I feel like because of the, I guess, time crunch with the Rumble and the Elimination Chamber being so close together.
Right.
We didn't have time to do the Randy Orton Bray Wyatt fallout.
Sure. And now, because
before that,
honestly, because at first I thought like it was like before where Elimination Chamber happens 1 week and then the Raw pay per view, but it's not. Raw has a whole other week.
Mm-hmm.
If they had that extra week to play around with, why didn't they book Elimination Chamber like one more week after Royal Rumble?
Yeah.
So they had a little bit more time to build.
It's like they
really don't care about giving SmackDown much of a chance, you know?
No, I think it's still very clear that SmackDown is the blue-headed stepchild.
Right.
And that's how it's always been. That's how...
Sure.
Literally, except for the draft was on an episode of SmackDown,
mm-hmm.
I think is the only time I was like, oh, and I guess SmackDown's got what should be the big number one title.
Right.
Like, they're trying... But that's the thing, is they're trying to make the Universal title on par and eventually above the WWE title.
Right.
Unless the WWE title goes over to Raw in the next draft.
If they just give up and just swap belts and then give the Universal
belt... And the Universal belt turns blue.
Yeah, belt turns blue. But now that we're talking about Raw...
Okay.
There's really one major thing from Raw. Well, two major things from Raw.
Yeah.
That are important to talk about. Well, let's go ahead and talk about the main event.
Okay.
Talk about that first.
Well, I do want to say, of the two things,
mm-hmm.
I'm really glad. I want to point out which one was the main event.
Yes. Sure. Fine.
Because 2 years ago, a year ago, maybe even 6 months ago.
Honestly, if the friendship thing finished the show... I feel like that would be telegraphing. Because honestly, we kind of figured it was coming.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, okay.
But I feel like if they ended the show with that,
the friendship thing, if they had done... They have done enough swerves.
Sure. False breakups and everything. Yeah, fine.
Like, I'm not even sure yet. Like, I'm going to wait till next week.
Fine.
And
yeah.
See if they're like, we got you. Like,
yeah.
Maybe then I'll start to be like, all right, this is where this goes.
What ended up happening was so intricate. I feel like this is the one.
Yeah.
But if they had done that at the end of the show, I feel like they would have maybe telegraphed it a little bit too much. But yes, I am glad the Women's Championship was at the end of Raw. And I'm so happy with how it all turned out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm beyond overjoyed at the reaction that it got. I still think it's too soon
for Bayley to be the champion.
I felt like she needs to chase it a little bit more. And I feel like her first championship win should have been over Charlotte at a pay-per-view to break the pay-per-view streak. And now that they've done it on Raw, just like they did twice for Sasha Banks already.
I think it's too soon to break Charlotte's pay-per-view streak.
Fine. I mean, that's fine, but I don't want them to be swapping the championship every other Monday Night Raw. Because Charlotte's just going to win it back at the next pay-per-view. I feel like they pretty much telegraphed that at this point. With the whole Sasha Banks
thing. So, they're not calling these things pay-per-views anymore.
Network specials.
Like,
fine.
Are they calling them network specials? Like, do they...
I don't know.
They use the name of whatever it is. It's Fastlane on the network. Because I like Charlotte being...
But they're still calling it the pay-per-view streak, though. for Charlotte.
Yeah, well, Charlotte, I would not mind Charlotte being Mrs. Pay-Per-View.
Sure,
you know, the way that Shawn Michaels was Mr. WrestleMania.
Well, he was also wasn't undefeated at WrestleMania.
No, he wasn't.
Had the best quality matches at WrestleMania.
Well, yes, I know that. But, and Mrs. Pay-Per-View sounds a little silly.
It sounds a little risque, actually.
It does sound a little risque, doesn't
Mrs.
it?
Mrs. Pay-Per-View, oh my.
Well, I don't have a better title for it.
Right. The Queen of Pay-Per-View?
Maybe.
Bam. I just won. There you go.
Well, the fact that they're not real, like, they're not pay-per-views anymore.
Right.
Referring to it as the pay-per-view victories seems a little silly and is just going to seem sillier as we go into the future. But I like this, you know, we swap belts. You've been champion, but I win the matches when they count.
Yeah, but it's still a championship match, so it should count no matter what the show's on. You know what I mean?
But that gives her, as a heel, something to say and something to point to
And with the rematch thing, that it extends the feud to last however long they wanted to last. I just feel like they did it twice with Sasha Banks, and they just did it. You know, like, it wasn't like months ago or anything. Like, it literally was what they just finished up doing.
I suspect, I don't know this for sure, obviously, but I suspect the Sasha Charlotte trade-off kind of just worked out that way, almost coincidental. Like, I don't think they were like, oh, we'll have Charlotte win on all the pay-per-views and we'll have Sasha win
at Raw
multiple times.
Fine.
I think they were like...
But the fact that now that they've had Charlotte drop the belt 3 times on Raw, that indicates a pattern.
No, it does indicate a pattern.
Yeah.
But I'm saying it's a pattern I don't mind seeing continue.
Fair enough. I guess, but I don't know. Part of me would have liked her. I would have liked the win to be on a bigger stage.
Now, if she...
After a longer period of time, like, let the story breathe.
If she is dropping it before every pay-per-view just so she can win it back on the pay-per-view...
Yeah.
That's dumb. I don't want that.
Right. Which is what's going to happen if she wins at Fastlane. That would be the third time.
Well, if she wins at Fastlane, I'm fine. If she loses between Fastlane and WrestleMania just so she can win it back at WrestleMania, that's going to be my breaking point. I'll tell you that right now. I'll tell you 100%
right now. Because this is my breaking point.
I can see that. But that's going to be the point. That's where I'm like, this is silly and ridiculous.
And you'll be mad because I would be right.
No.
No,
right now you're saying this is the breaking point, and that's stupid and wrong.
I'm not saying this is the breaking point, but I'm the one telling you this is a pattern.
Well, of course it's a pattern. It's been a pattern the whole time. I'm not disputing it's a pattern. Mm-hmm. I'm saying it's fine that it's a pattern. I'm saying patterns are good.
I'm not saying all patterns are bad.
I mean, the streak is a pattern. He always manages to win at WrestleMania.
Sure. I'm just
yet
not
somehow
a fan.
He's not Mr. WrestleMania.
I'm not a fan of that of this particular pattern continuing.
I like this particular pattern, and I would like to see it continue.
Okay, all right. So when it happens at WrestleMania, you're going to be completely fine with
it. No, that's when it's dumb.
Uh-huh,
sure. Okay, I don't mind her winning at WrestleMania. I don't want her to lose the title between pay-per-views so she can win at pay-per-views.
Yeah.
Because she has, even with Sasha, she retained at pay-per-views.
Sure, she has. Yeah.
She didn't go in as a challenger on every pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Which, if that was the pattern, that's an issue.
Right.
The fact that...
Like, you know, every other kind of thing.
Yeah, that's silly and ridiculous.
Yes.
And I will say that I still think Sasha should have won at Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that was a time that Sasha should have won. That's a match that should have been a victory for her. But if it's not going to be Charlotte winning at the events, Charlotte winning when the crowd is big, Charlotte winning when it, quote unquote, matters, because she's doing that, it's a very easy way to not necessarily downgrade other people's championship reigns. Because, yeah, a championship reign should be a championship reign. You have been a champion. But it boosts hers as a little bit better, as a little bit more important.
Okay.
And I do think now that they are aware of this, I don't think it was an intentional thing, but now that they're aware that Charlotte has won all of these pay-per-views, I think they're going to keep them keeping that going.
As long as they don't.
Provided she doesn't continue to lose just so she can win it back at everything.
Right. Okay. Well, with all that being said, I have a question for you.
Okay.
What is going to be the next historic moment in women's wrestling that WWE is going to overly focus on? The next milestone or the next type of match that they're going to focus on instead of, you know, the actual emotional story element? I've got an answer in my head.
What's your answer in your head?
Ladder match.
Ladder match?
Yeah. Maybe at WrestleMania. If not, then maybe at Money in the Bank.
A women's Money in the Bank. I think that
That's
very
possible. I would like a women's Money in the Bank, and I would like a women's Royal Rumble. Women's Royal Rumble, they need to bolster both rosters up a little bit more. I understand that.
Now, with a women's Money in the Bank, I do feel like the correct focus is on the history of that. Because Money in the Bank aren't about feuds.
No, absolutely. I 100% agree with that. Now, if it was just a ladder match for the championship between a feud that's been ongoing, and they focus on the history aspect of it again, then that's a different story.
I don't know about that. When is the last time we had a two-person ladder match at WrestleMania?
Oh, Lord.
It's been a long, long time. I think those days might be behind us.
Yeah.
Because WrestleMania is more spectacly. And we have ladder matches all the time at WrestleMania, but they're packed.
Right.
They're Money in the Bank matches without Money in the Bank.
But with the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah.
It's been a really long time. I honestly don't have the recollection right now to tell you. So we'll see. I don't know.
So
I guess we move on to the big thing coming out of Raw. And that is the Festival of Friendship segment.
You're not going to go with the return of Goldberg?
Well, he's included. He's included in the Festival of Friendship. All of that. Honestly, I thought it was a masterpiece.
Yeah.
I thought it was incredible. And I don't want to give the Raw writing team credit for it. I want to give Chris Jericho the credit for it because it had so many, like, great moments that kind of harken back to the great storyline that he had with Shawn Michaels years ago. And it just felt like a Chris Jericho thing.
Yeah.
And I thought the turning point at the end was so incredibly well done.
Okay.
You know, with the why is my name on the list angle up, you see the list of KO and you're like, it's happening. Like those touches are what made it like, nope, this isn't a fake out. Like this is for real.
Yeah.
And of course, next week, I'm sure we'll get the explanation of exactly what Triple H told him or whatever.
What do you think that explanation is?
Because I gotta say,
take out the Triple H thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is a bad, bad move on Kevin Owens' part.
Like from a character standpoint?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I mean, this he's about to face Goldberg.
Yeah, because he gave up his one lifeline.
Yeah, his ace in the hole there.
Yeah. Absolutely. I hope we actually do find out what Triple H said.
Oh, yes. No, if this goes in the mystery box of what did Triple H say, that we want to talk about breaking points.
Yeah.
That might be my Raw breaking point.
I have a feeling it's going to be something along the lines of, hey, when I picked you all those months ago, I didn't pick you to be, you know, whatever, you know, comedy job that you're doing right now with Jericho. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling it's going to be something like that. Like you need to like trim the fat and become a serious champion and a serious threat, especially if you're going to beat Goldberg and kind of like, you know,
really?
And kind of was like that voice.
You think it's just a pep talk?
I don't, somewhere between a pep talk and a coming to Jesus meeting. You know what I'm talking about? Like just the like, hey, when I picked you for this, I didn't intend for you to go down this route. I wanted you to be the ruthless Kevin Owens that we saw like in NXT and everything. Not what I'm looking at, and basically like made Kevin Owens reevaluate what was important to him.
If that is true, I will not be as pleased with that.
I think it's like okay. Well, what do you?
I'm expecting some sort of deal proposal from Triple H.
Drop him, you get Samoa Joe.
Well, yeah, that, I mean, something that
also has an irrational hatred for Sami Zayn.
I mean, it doesn't have to be, it can be as much as like, you don't need Chris Jericho in your corner when you face Goldberg. You need Triple H in your corner when you face Goldberg.
Right.
The removal of Chris Jericho, and it comes back to the facing Goldberg thing. Because, okay, let's go straight kayfabe in here. Mm-hmm. Chris Jericho was saying, I'm bringing out Goldberg, and we're both taking him on.
Yeah.
So, what was the plan there if actual Goldberg came out?
Right.
Like, was Chris Jericho planning to beat him down with his friend Kevin Owens?
No, he was going to use the Guggenheim statue.
I mean, what did character in kayfabe Kevin Owens envision happening in this moment?
I mean, ultimately, yeah, you know, 2-on-1 assault.
But did he think we were going to beat down Goldberg, then I was going to beat down Chris Jericho? Was this his...
Yeah. Maybe,
Was he walking out a betrayer either way?
Maybe not. I'm thinking Goldberg was the last straw, where, like, Triple H put, you know, that he incepted him with the idea of, you know, maybe this friendship isn't the best for you as a champion or blah, 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 blah. You know, just got the word in his ear and in his brain and he just overthought it. And then the Goldberg thing was what pushed him over the edge.
Yeah.
So, maybe.
I kind of want to see... I want to see something that's like, ah, I see why Kevin Owens did it.
Yeah.
And just being told, like, you need to refocus. Because Kevin Owens has, since he got that title, he's held on to it.
Yeah.
Through thick and thin, through several title defenses. A lot of times with Chris Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't see how Chris Jericho can be interpreted as the fat of the relationship.
No, I mean, well, clearly it would be, like, you know, heel logic.
Yeah, but, know. Like, even, I'm saying even through heel logic, that's a bit of a stretch.
Sure, fine. Or, or, you know, playing into the ego is like, you don't really need him to win your matches. You know, maybe that's what he incepted into his brain.
Maybe, but, like, that still doesn't ring true with the Chris Owens they've been building. Because Chris Owens is about... Kevin Owens.
There you go. I know we look like and everything, but you can calm down.
Well, we're talking about Chris Jericho. It's moving in. Kevin Owens is about his win-loss record.
Mm-hmm.
More W's means more money.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't matter if there's an asterisk by it that says Chris Jericho.
Sure.
W's means money. He can feed his kid.
Right.
And that's what he wants. And so I don't know. I think there's a lot of ways they can go with it.
You think they're going to play more into, like, Kevin Owens wanting Triple H in his corner against Goldberg?
I hope so.
Okay.
I think they're going to say, it might just be like you're better than this, get your head in the game kind of thing, and be like, that's enough. And that, like, I'll keep watching, but that won't be enough for me. I'll go ahead and say that right now. If it's just time to refocus, that's not going to be enough for me for a reason for him to betray Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
And, like, Chris Jericho's one, again, in kayfabe, Chris Jericho's one flaw as a friend was he agreed to the match against Goldberg.
Right.
Kevin Owens didn't.
Right.
And if that's brought up later on, some sort of like, I had to get rid of you, Chris Jericho, you got me into this match, and Triple H is going to get me out of it kind of thing.
That's not bad, yeah.
That's something to be like, okay, I can see some... And I almost feel like that has to be, because other than that, Chris Jericho has been a genuinely loyal, dedicated friend.
Oh, yeah.
But who has put his body on the line for Chris Jericho's victory. For
Kevin Owens'
victories.
Yeah. And again, heel logic, most heels don't really care about that. You know what I mean? But it is very, like, that is a short-sighted way of thinking about it. But I like where you're going at with it. So how do you think this plays out at Fastlane? Because ultimately Goldberg's going to win.
I'm assuming Goldberg wins.
Yeah.
Goldberg takes the title, Goldberg goes.
Do you think it's going to win because of, let's just say Triple H is at ringside and Seth Rollins comes out and stops Triple H from interfering, and then Goldberg wins clean? Or do you see Jericho surprising everyone coming in and causing Kevin Owens, purposely causing Kevin Owens the match?
So the puzzle, pieces we have, the potential puzzle pieces we have here are Triple H, Seth Rollins, Chris Owens,
Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens. That's it now. I've said it too many times. Right. It's in my brain forever.
Yeah.
Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho, Brock Lesnar, Goldberg, Samoa Joe.
Possibly Finn Balor.
Why not?
He's a wild card.
As long as... make it a baker's dozen.
He's returning soon. That's all we know.
Throw in another couple of them. There are so many ways we could go with this.
Yeah.
Because all of those guys could be potentially facing each other by the time we get to WrestleMania. We know that Goldberg Brock is at, barring some change of heart.
All this excitement over the friendship thing. I completely forgot about Brock.
Yeah.
Dang. All right.
So, there has been talk and rumors of desperately trying to keep the title away from the Goldberg and Brock thing, that Brock would interfere in the match so that Goldberg loses, leading to their match at WrestleMania.
Right.
Which... maybe,
which would make which would make it believable why Goldberg would agree to a WrestleMania match.
But Goldberg's already agreed to a WrestleMania match against Lesnar.
I know.
And it's
which makes zero sense. We already talked on that.
And you know what? It's one of the things. If somebody wants to like poke their head out of kayfabe and be like, that's stupid. That didn't happen.
Sure,
and then like we're back.
Either way, it would.
I would honestly be fine with that.
And either way, it would at least bring some more heat to the feud.
Yes. And again...
and it could use some heat.
But Brock Lesnar needs some offense in this thing.
Right.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
And again, I'm the easiest guy to be like... sure. To convince me that I want to see this. I'm so willing to go with you wherever you want me to go. And this is just... I can't get behind this. But... I don't think that's going to happen. I think Goldberg's getting the title. I think Goldberg's taking it to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So Chris Jericho could interfere.
Seth could interfere.
Seth could interfere.
With Triple H.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
then Joe could come in and just do Triple H's bidding.
Yeah. Joe's kind of weird. Like, as soon as, like, after that initial excitement of yay, Joe's here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what does he do? Yeah. Where does he?
Although I did like his, you know, respect on my name.
Yeah.
Moment that he had with Sami Zayn. So I'm guessing they're probably going to lead to a Sami Zayn Joe match at Fastlane, at the very least. And as far as like what they do beyond that, we'll have to see. A lot of people are like, well, maybe Triple H is trying to start a stable of former NXT champions, apparently. Not named Seth Rollins.
Yeah. I'm curious how much NXT storyline and characters is going to start to blend into Raw.
Because a lot of people are also like pointing to maybe a Finn versus Joe match at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Which I would be okay with, but I'm assuming, you know, since they're cutting it so close with Finn's injury leading into WrestleMania, they would basically have to draw from NXT. For as far as like the origin of the feud on Raw.
We've had a little bit here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Feuds have not really bled over other than general
Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn a little bit.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that one, that's the
main one.
That's the exception, because that one has been like, and again, if these guys hate each other forever, I'm okay with this.
Sure. And again, like, that's a feud that also preceded NXT as well.
Yeah.
So.
No, there have been some like, oh, this person was a heel in NXT. They're heel here. They're face here. So, yeah, they'll have some similar run-ins.
Sure.
Honestly, like, because there was the rumor with Samoa Joe and Sami Zayn.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that feels weirdly like NXT.
Yeah, they had a 2 out of 3 falls match that went the entire episode on NXT.
But
that was just like a year ago.
And that feels like a weird complaint to have.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit like, well, if Joe's just going to come up and fight NXT people, why can't I watch this on NXT?
Yeah, like, why leave NXT? He could have done that on NXT.
Yeah. And I get, like, the rest of them have come up. But I want to see these younger, cooler, newer guys face and beat the establishment.
Yes. The ideal situation would have been Joe versus Cena.
Yeah. That is part of the journey. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the best thing that's ever come out is Kevin Owens beating John Cena clean.
Yeah.
And maybe
there's still hope for that, you know?
No, yeah.
Because maybe like they'll do like a brand versus brand match, like one match at WrestleMania, Raw guy versus SmackDown guy, and that's how they do it. Cena's rumored to be in a mixed tag match.
I feel very strongly there should be a brand match.
Because they used to do that. The one most people remember is Batista versus Umaga.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a pretty good match.
No, I think that's part of the charm of the brand split and of mm-hmm. these handful of wrestling events that are cross-brand promotions is I get to see these,
mm-hmm.
you know, I get to see these rare matches mm-hmm. of these guys versus this guy that I don't normally get to see.
And speaking of, I heard a rumor sometime this week that Money in the Bank was going to be a SmackDown exclusive pay-per-view. And I feel like that would be a huge mistake.
Yeah.
You know, because this would be the one time where, you know, you could bring back multiple Money in the Bank ladder matches and it'd be, you know, believable, you know,
mm-hmm.
or just have one and that one guy can go wherever he wants, you know?
Yeah.
And we have a possibility of, you know, maybe doing a female Money in the Bank match,
mm-hmm.
you know, that would be, you know, interesting. But I feel like they would be missing out on a lot if they made it brand exclusive.
I understand if you're trying to make stuff brand exclusive, I understand that there is some amount of where do we draw the line.
Right.
We have the big four,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, but then also Money in the Bank, and it's like, well, but then also Night of Champions, because we got to have all the champions there, and we're dealing with if it's brand exclusive, and then, well, what about, and I can see.
And maybe, I don't know, I guess the other alternative would maybe, like, swap the gimmick pay-per-views.
Yeah. Like, I can see you wanting to draw the line and be like, this is, it's big four, nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
But your big four is a big five at this point.
Oh, yeah, no.
Like,
no.
It's just.
Money in the Bank has become part of the big five now.
I feel that's just, I mean, other than history and length of existence.
Yeah.
Is the only reason that Money in the Bank isn't.
Mm.
And it's title matches, it's namesake matches.
Mm.
Get you title shots just like the Rumble.
Sure.
Like the Rumble gets your title shot at WrestleMania, but I feel
and it could be as simple as they just haven't made up their mind yet. But somebody heard something, you know.
Yeah.
Or it's originally listed as a SmackDown exclusive, but later on they'll, you know, they're still holding on to the option of amending that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I would prefer it be, you know, both brands.
Well, if we have a Money in the Bank and there's one ladder match on the whole show, like, that's just gonna...
With two major championships. Now, I understood it when we had one major championship, you know?
But see, even when we have one major championship, like, those one year we had one major championship, but there was a title ladder match and a Money in the Bank ladder match.
Right.
They've kind of managed to, most every time, if not every single time, squeeze out at least two ladder matches.
Sure.
And so, like, if they don't...
Or at least two multi-man ladder matches, right. And lest we forget, back when they pretty much had, like, the World Heavyweight Championship, almost as, like, a minor league
mm-hmm.
Money in the Bank, and then they literally called the one for the main championship the All-Star.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's only former champions. And I'm like, okay, fine.
That literally defeats the purpose of the Money in the Bank match.
Yeah, absolutely.
I will say that I feel like the track they're going on, mm-hmm. Money in the Bank contract is Baron Corbin's to lose.
Yeah.
I think he's
mm-hmm.
everything they're pointing
there's
towards.
Two things I feel pretty confident in saying. And yeah, 100% I agree with you. Like, Baron Corbin is going to be the next Money in the Bank winner.
Uh-huh.
Especially if it's a SmackDown thing, absolutely. If it's multi-brand, absolutely. If it's raw, then clearly we'll have to reassess.
Then we'll figure it out.
Right. And then the second one, I feel pretty strong in saying that, and I don't really like the guy, but I feel like Mojo Rawley's going to win the Andre the Giant.
All right. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not... I'm not ready to throw my hat in that particular ring yet.
Yeah, I don't know. And again, it might be way too early for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like if not him and they don't find anything for Joe to do, then Joe will win.
I'm curious how much longer we're doing that Andre the Giant.
Oh, they'll keep doing it for a while, but they're not going to put any emphasis on it like they have, like they did
that,
the first
that
year.
One time.
That one time, on that first one. Year. I don't know. I think last year's really, really, it really took a hit with all the injuries.
Yeah.
You know, they were really just scouring for whatever they could find in that.
Yeah. On a normal year, it does look like well, let's get everybody else on the card. Make sure everybody gets that WrestleMania payday.
Watching it back, even though it was on the pre-show, the one at 31 had so many bodies in it.
Yep.
You know? And it felt like it was more crowded than the one at 30. And then the one at 32 was just scarce, and they felt like they were almost short for time, which, you know, the fact that they're short for time for a Battle Royal in a five-hour show
yep.
is beyond me. Little did we know that we were about to get another Rock pep rally.
Yes. I had to make room for a Rock's flamethrower.
Which we're going to get probably again this year.
Yeah.
Because, Rock has been part of every WrestleMania since 27, so there's no reason to think that it's not going to happen this year, and it's not going to be anything more than another talking segment like it's been like the last...
Since 29.
Since 29, yeah. So 30 on has always been a Rock talking segment.
Yeah.
Minimal in-ring stuff.
Done with that.
No, I am too.
And you know what? Here's the thing. I 100% wasn't this time last year.
Right.
Like,
it was that dumb flamethrower, wasn't it? Or burying the entire Wyatt family in one.
I think it was the cheerleaders.
Yeah. See, okay. They had just finished, patting themselves on the back about the women's revolution and making the championship a big deal and the new women's championship. And they're like, all right, you know, females are equal to our male superstars in WWE and on our shows and blah, blah, blah. And then you bring out the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders. I'm like, come on. Like, just to be basically arm candy for The Rock. I was like, come on, you. It felt pretty hypocritical. Because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it happened right after the women's championship match.
I understand the hypocritical angle. I think that's a very good point to make. I think you should definitely stand on that.
Yeah.
And it was mostly the boring aspect for me.
That too.
Just I guess I could talk about how I oppose this on moral grounds.
Honestly, I popped more for John Cena, everyone.
Yeah.
I was like, oh snap, this is pretty, that's cool. Like, John Cena actually made it to WrestleMania. You know, he didn't do a whole lot because he couldn't, but that was a cool moment. Because usually it's the other way around. Like, usually Cena would be the one, with them odds stacked up against them, and, you know, somebody like The Rock or something would come in to make the save. But this time it was the other way around. So I thought that was interesting. It just felt excessive. I'm pretty sure, this was WWE's call. Like, they're the ones that planned most of this out. But it really felt like nothing but to just pile onto The Rock's ego.
We knew it was going to be just a talking segment.
Sure.
And even when it ended up being a match, oh my goodness, surprise, surprises.
And that surprise was interesting. I kind of chuckled at it.
But going into it, we thought it was going to be a talking segment. And so the amount of time it took The Rock between music hit and microphone in the ring was...
forever.
So deflating.
Yeah. And again, if you want to add to the reasons why, it's pretty much a foregone conclusion that Rock is going to be at this year's WrestleMania. It's in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
It pretty much guarantees it.
But part of it is is The Rock going to have another match at WrestleMania? Because I feel like he should. I feel like there's no reason, unless he doesn't want to.
I feel like he wants to. It's just he's not going to be able to work it into his schedule. Because he's basically going to always be on some sort of insurance loophole thing that he can't.
Yeah, but
be
like
able to.
He doesn't need to fight John Cena again. Just like
no.
Give him somebody.
I mean, the last two times that he's wrestled at WrestleMania, like he would have like legit like pretty bad injuries.
Yeah, just give him like the Miz or something. Like I don't need
just feed him to somebody that
well
he,
feed somebody
or
to
feed
him.
Somebody to him.
Yes, let's have Miz go over The Rock clean.
Oh.
In the middle of WrestleMania.
Oh my God, I would
do nothing. Blow off match. Not
will,
for a title, no build up.
I would troll love that so hard. Like it would like I would recognize it as being something awful, but the like the inner troll in me would love it so much.
Like
I'm
The Rock
the mouth because of it. Oh,
like
man.
The Rock slips in boots that he's not used to, tries to put his foot on the rope to break the count, gets his foot tangled in the rope, can't kick out.
And Miz makes him tap in a figure four. A badly constructed figure four. Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like, something like that.
Something absurd.
I would be 100% on board. No, but like, I just, I feel like I don't, because again, this time last year, Rock talking at 30. That's just, it's 30. Celebratory.
Well, that
we're all
the
here
Hogan
for a good time.
Austin thing. It was fun.
Good job. Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing at 31. Yeah, you're killing sunlight.
Right.
But it was fun again.
It was fun, and the involvement with Ronda.
And there's a little of a tease of like what could happen.
Right. That was fun too.
Nothing like that this time.
No.
And so the like the Rock music is like, oh, The Rock. What's he gonna say? And then, like, 10 minutes later, you're like, I don't care what he's going to say.
Well, yeah, because he still hadn't said it
yeah.
at that point. And 10 minutes in, he's still making...
No, yeah, that's the thing. It's like, yeah. 10 minutes later, I'm burnt out. I'm no longer excited. I still apparently have 15 minutes to go for him to actually get to the microphone. To the point where, like, this... I'm like, I guess The Rock's going to talk this year. It's close enough to WrestleMania. Nobody's... Like, there's no hint of a match happening.
Right.
So, I don't think a match is happening.
No. Unless they haven't announced that he's, like, guest hosting or whatever.
Yeah.
Because wasn't that what they announced for Dallas? That he was, like, the host of... Not the host, but...
No, he was the host of 27.
But he pretty much confirmed he would be there or something.
Yeah.
Like, they announced it beforehand. Whereas 31 was a surprise, and 30 was a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so, like, I just... I would like to see him wrestle at WrestleMania again. I think there is...
I would like one more, like, if he's going to do one more WrestleMania match, I would like to be, like, some big, meaningful thing. You know, I don't have an answer, like, exactly.
Oh, like,
what
yeah,
be.
What are the answers?
Him versus Roman, maybe? I don't know. But he's... But that's, like, at that point, you better have Roman turn heel at that point before you go into WrestleMania, because if you put him up against Rock at any point, the fans will not give you choices whether he's a heel or not.
Yeah, I just... Oh... I feel like there's no turning back from, like, if Roman beats The Rock clean, like...
It would, no. Mm.
You're burning your corporation to the ground.
Yeah. Because you know Vince has thought about it.
Uh-huh. No, I'm 100% sure he has.
Mm-hmm.
I just, No, like, the things are challenge the streak... Which is not going to happen. Fight Cena again, which please don't let it happen. Or, like, Stone Cold comes out of retirement to
and
face The Rock at WrestleMania one more
that's
time.
That's not happening.
Like, no, I have no even semi-realistic, like, this will be The Rock's final WrestleMania
match.
Sure. I also, like, The Rock's going to be around to entertain me for a very, very long time.
Right.
The Rock is going to be in 3 more Fast and the Furious movies over the next 6 years. Mm. The Rock is going to star in like 2 more franchises based on various video games and comic books
right.
over the next decade and a half. The Rock's going to have a weird turned in a dramatic role where he gets a surprising Oscar nom. Like, that's just going to happen throughout the future. The Rock is going to be an entertainer of me.
And possibly a future president.
My point is, The Rock, until he is into his 80s, The Rock is going to be entertaining me.
Sure, in one way or other. Yeah, absolutely.
And so because of that, I don't feel like his final match needs to be some grand punctuation mark on his career.
Yeah.
I'm okay with so many of my heroes and idols and icons in this business. I couldn't tell you what their last match was. Their most famous match was somewhere halfway through their career. Guys like Mick Foley have had some very good retirement matches. Ric Flair had an amazing retirement match.
Right.
I couldn't tell you what Ric Flair's last match was.
Probably something in TNA. Well, obviously something in TNA.
Yeah. I mean, the only exception to that is Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels had one of, if not his greatest match, as his final match.
And has held faithful to it.
And that is a final punctuation mark on his career as wrestling as a whole.
Yeah.
On the second half of his career and as on his career as a whole. Which is a very impressive thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But that is the only example. Right now, Rock's last match is technically against Derrick Rowan. Yeah. Like, it's only up from here as far as like what you want your last match to encompass your career with.
No, you're right. You're right.
So I'm okay if The Rock has forgettable matches.
Fair enough.
I mean, John Cena's going to do the same thing. I think he'll move away from wrestling. He'll get into some movie stuff. He'll never be quite as successful as The Rock, but he'll have a nice little career.
Sure.
He'll be back for every WrestleMania for the next decade.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he'll... what his last match will be, but I don't see it being
anything substantial.
No.
Fair enough.
And you're the great truism of you're supposed to go out on your back, which doesn't 100% hold true, especially in these days. But even if these guys don't go out on their back, they'll go out giving somebody else the match.
Right.
You know, they might not like, I'm going to lose to this guy to put him over, but their final match is not a moment of glory in their career, but rather a moment of glory in somebody else's career.
Fair enough.
That they had the opportunity to stand toe-to-toe with John Cena or The Rock or whoever.
Okay.
It's a lot of what Triple H is doing with the final leg of his career.
Sure. It's more of, you know, putting over future talent or
up-and-coming. Even when Triple H is winning, it is theoretically, like your mileage may vary on this, but it is theoretically an honor and a rub just to go toe to toe with
Triple H. Saw it last year with Roman.
Yeah,
you know, winning the Royal Rumble to lead to him putting Roman over, you know, at WrestleMania. Granted, it was crap, but that was a whole different story.
Yes.
Okay, so I do have a bit of non wrestling stuff to discuss with you. If there was anything else that you need.
No, I think that's my wrestling.
Okay,
week.
So Star Wars.
Oh,
Celebration.
Uh huh.
Pretty much at this year, it's a yearly thing. The Star Wars convention.
It's an every other year thing.
It's been every year.
Well, it's in America every other year.
In America every other year. Okay, fine. This week, they announced I believe, CEO of Lucasfilm. I think that's her title, Kathleen Kennedy. And director of Episode 8, The Last Jedi, Rian Johnson, announced that they're going to have a panel Friday during that convention in April with quote-unquote special guests. That's when we're getting the trailer, right?
I assume so. Yeah, I
assume that they've waited this long, and not even a teaser. Because last year for Episode 7, we got a teaser the two Thanksgivings before the movie came out.
Yes,
and we got the trailer at Celebration in April in Anaheim.
Yeah,
so they haven't even done a teaser yet.
Right.
So, do we get full trailer at Celebration?
Are you thinking?
Our first teaser.
It depends on what you call a full trailer.
Well, yeah.
The Star Wars full trailers for Force Awakens would have been teasers for any other movie.
Sure, fine. Yeah, yeah. Like, there, a lot of movies are kind of like, you know, graying up that line.
But the original trailer for Force Awakens that we should have gotten by now if the timelines mm-hmm. were exact, was literally three shots. It was BB-8 rolling around. Sure. It was a ship flying. It was Rey on her ice cream bar looking speeder.
Yeah.
It was practically nothing.
Sure.
The good one, the exciting one, was the one from Anaheim with the your home tag at the end.
Right.
And then we had another one later on closer to October.
Right.
I think this one will be the equivalent of the Your Home trailer.
Right. That, that's trailer. What I'm thinking too. And as far as like special guests, I'm guessing like the new big three.
Oh, I'm sure they'll be there.
Yeah. And then probably, probably Mark Hamill.
I would be curious if there's a surprise guest. Like special guests makes me think just they haven't locked everybody's schedule down.
Sure.
It'll probably be everybody.
Right. And basically the only people that they want to sit locked down was Kathleen Kennedy, obviously.
Right.
And then Rian Johnson.
But I am curious if they have a surprise planned.
I feel like if anything surprise happens, other than, you know, outside of people involved in episode 8, mm-hmm. you know, with as far as like main cast and everything, surprise wise, maybe if they brought up anybody from the Han Solo film.
Maybe. You know. Or like I'm thinking like such and such is gonna be in episode 8. Like
we don't know who it is. That we don't even know yet.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. Yeah, and that'll be like the first time that they finally that they announce it. Now yeah. What was it? I forget their name of unveiling the new toys this week.
Force Friday
2 is happening. And it's become such a thing that the first announcement that they made was like, hey, guys, this is the packaging.
Yes.
Because it is our official like first look at the new big three in
it is,
Last Jedi.
It is it's a little
absurd.
It's a little ridiculous that Star Wars
guys
can release literally a picture of an empty box.
Yeah.
And it is news that was covered everywhere.
It was.
Every news outlet was like, here you go. A picture of an empty box.
Yeah. But I feel like if they make any sort of like character announcements, it'll probably be this week with Force, or not this week, but Force Friday.
Yeah.
You know, probably nothing major, but just like ancillary characters or, you know, CGI or puppet characters.
Yeah.
We'll get like images of that this week.
Yeah. We'll start to see some,
but I feel like we'll get like bigger news by April for Celebration. Mm-hmm. We'll be right there.
Mm-hmm.
Reporting it. I don't know. we'll say something.
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
Nope, that's it for me.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Sierra Attire, where we live tweet Mondays, some Tuesdays, when we can, when wrestling happens.
Which is pretty much every day now.
Mm-hmm.
If you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send that over to our email. That's classroomingattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes, still the easiest way to get the podcast. You can subscribe there. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or if you write a review, that kind of interaction with you guys really helps out the podcast as far as iTunes metrics go.
Yep. And if you're listening to us on insidepulse.com, drop us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
Don't forget, we're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris, easy way to follow myself, see what other kind of things we're working on.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.